thought you could get rid of us, but we're back. It's the Weird Adult Show brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. Your 2020 just got ruined with your fabulous host, Danny, and co-host, Sean. How you doing, man?
I'm doing better, man. Like, as much as December tried to kill me, I didn't get sick until I, like, didn't have to go to work as much and had days off. Apparently days off are worse for me than working 7 days a week.
I guess so. I guess you were just working that other side job on the corner, huh?
Yeah. Dude, I worked today, I played a couple guys this, one of the first Pussifer songs ever released.
Mm-hmm.
Because as great of a band as Pussifer is, they started off as a joke band. And so the first song that they performed, like Maynard and his backup singer dressed up in country clothes and he wore this horrible mullet. And the name of the song is My Country Boner. And it's basically like he's going through and naming all the country stars that he fucked. And then it's like, it ends like with, I fucked the Judds. And she's like, you fucked the Judds. And he's like, My Country Boner, it won't go down. It won't go down. And so one of the guys got mad at me. He's like, you're trying to get the song stuck in my head. And I was like, well, most songs are considered to be earworms. I said, this song is like an STD. You don't really want it, but once you catch it, it's really hard to get rid of it. But I do highly recommend you Googling the video. I'll put it up on the Facebook just because I'm a jerk like that, but it is pretty funny.
Oh, and it also, boy.
It's when the backup singer starts, well, the co-singer, I guess, because she's not backup, but she sings her part. Apparently she fucked Elvis Presley on the toilet where he died.
Well, that doesn't seem very nice.
Well, I think he was alive then. It was just before.
True.
It didn't say when he died. It said where. So I guess the highlights of Elvis' life happened in there. He had sex with her and he died.
She sucked the life force out of him.
Exactly. Like all women do, apparently, according to the incels.
How would they know?
That's their fear. that's their fear, yes. So, Sean, are you participating in dryuary?
Dryuary? Am I, like, drying my clothes in the month of January?
No, are you not drinking any beers during the month of January? Because that's apparently a thing. People are, like, recovering from the holidays and eating too much and drinking too much by abstaining from alcohol for a full month of January.
I feel like that's some bullshit. Why don't you just hit the gym and stop eating your McDonald's?
Exactly. Or just deal with the fact that, you know, men are, it's okay for men to be fat and have gray hair or be bald because we get more distinguished.
Okay. Is that what you tell everybody?
Well, I mean, because, like, when they talk about the dad bods, they don't say it in a bad way. Or when they talk about, like, older men with gray hair look distinguished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like women.
I think that's when you have, like, millions of dollars, though.
that probably helps a lot. I was reading a Facebook thing, and they're talking about the whole, with a beer drinking group that I'm in, they're talking about dryuary, and one guy was like, yeah, I celebrate dryuary, the 31 days of dryuary, but I spread it out throughout the year.
Every once in a while, I just don't drink.
Yeah, I think there's at least 31 days throughout the course of the year where I don't have a beer, so we're good.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, go ahead, Sean.
I was going to say, does it count, like, if you drink wine, then you're still participating in
drinking? I don't know. I don't think there's an anal or ear sex loophole to the dryuary like there is with virginity.
Got you. Like when you take a sip off your crush and it's in a indirect kiss. We're kissing. We're totally making out.
Indirect kiss. Or the Family Guy where they did ear sex. And according to the news, once you go black, you go deaf.
So Danny, I'm drinking.
Hey man, that's not my joke. That's their joke. I even credited them. Send all your hate mail to Seth MacFarlane at familyguy.com.
Where it'll go in a trash can with all the other things he doesn't care about.
Yes. Exactly.
From Great Divide, I'm drinking the Mexican Chocolate Yeti. that I picked up in California. It's an Imperial Stout with coffee and spices added, and it is, I believe I've had this before on the show, or else I can't remember, but it's pretty good.
I don't know if you had it on the show, but you definitely had it in my presence, because we drank it when you were in Denver at the Great Divide Brewery.
I probably did. It's very tasty. It's got some chocolate, nice cinnamon notes in there after that kind of tingle on your tongue after you take a sip or a guzzle or whatever you want to call it.
A chug.
A big old drink.
A drink. Oh, man. Yeah, I remember that beer was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, Yeti was like the one beer that kind of kept me into the stout game.
That was like your beer. That was my beer.
It was, man.
Like, you would have done anything to get a Yeti in your mouth.
I mean, within reason, and we're talking about the beer.
Are we, though? Are we?
I mean, if it tastes as chocolatey good as the beer, then I guess I'll be okay with that. It's like a joke. Russian guy finds a genie, grants some wishes, and he wishes that he could piss vodka. And ultimately, like, the end of the joke is, like, you know, he comes home and tells his wife to get two glasses, and so they drink it, and it's, like, the best vodka ever. That happens a couple more times, and then finally one night he comes home and tells his wife to get one glass. Mm-hmm. And she's like, just one? He's like, yes, because tonight you're drinking straight from the bottle.
Oh, that's pretty funny. Well played, Russians.
I appreciate that joke. So, Sean, I'm drinking a beer in honor of you today.
Are you?
It's a fooder-aged Saison-style ale named L. It's from a little brewery in your old region called Jackie O's. From Athens, Ohio.
Yeah, they have a brew pub up there in outside of that place in Michigan. I forgot what it's called already.
Kalamazoo, Detroit.
No, higher north Grand of Kalamazoo. Rapids. Further north. The place you wanted to go to that you were let down.
The whiskey place.
Something that like has that.
The fact that they had like a dam and use the water for electricity to run the water under the roads so the roads don't get icy and snowy because they're always hot.
Sure, we'll go with that one.
Starts with a T. Traverse Town?
Traverse City. The cow! Outside of Traverse City. It's not in Traverse City, but it's right outside. It's part of the ale trail, though, if you're ever in Traverse City. You know what the thing is I'm trying to do the Bucks County one out here, dude. Too much. The county's too big. This is bullshit. I gotta drive like an hour to another brewery. I'm like, come on, man.
I just found out that they have a California beer passport. And so it's not just like Southern California breweries. It's like all of California breweries. And if you stamp it, if you get them all stamped off, you get a cool prize. And it's like, I want to see what this cool prize is first. Because I'm not driving all the way the fuck up to like, you know, Eureka for a pint of beer to get a stamp.
Yeah, then fuck that. Especially if you're only getting like a pint glass.
Right? Or a t-shirt?
Yeah.
But I mean, if I got a
pint glass. I went to every brewery in California and all I got was this damn t-shirt.
And if I got a t-shirt and a pint glass and a sticker, then we're on.
You're telling me there's a sticker involved? You got yourself a deal.
So, this beer is called L. And it's named after the fact that their room where they do their mixed fermentation is L-shaped.
Clever.
I like it. I mean, there's a big old thing. Apparently, they started their sour program in 2008, so they're not just jumping on a trend. They've been doing it for a while. So over the years, it turned into a few dozen barrels in the brew pub basement. Then a dedicated barrel warehouse with 400-plus barrels and now a thoughtfully designed room for mixed fermentation. The L, in quotation mark, shaped room. So I don't know if it's L-shaped or just L kind of shaped. those quotation and those are necessary unnecessary quotation marks is my point. Encompasses primary mixed fermentation, secondary souring slash aging, and packaging on a sour beer only bottling line.
Yeah.
Stainless tanks and large oak fooders line the walls with countless passion projects. L starts as a saison that is fermented in stainless with a mixed culture of classic saison strains, wild yeast, and bacteria. The beer then rests in a fooder for 6 months, gaining oak notes and a rounded acidic profile. A beautiful beer that celebrates the evolution and successes of following a passionate vision.
Nice.
And, you know, for a long time, like, you know, going back to the previous beer, like, basically stouts were the only craft beers I would drink. And these beers would just almost, like, I wouldn't be able to handle even just a sip. But now I, like, embrace the, like, the sourness, the beerness taste of it. Oh, man, it's so good.
You're just like, witness me! Witness.
Yes. It comes in at 5.1% alcohol by volume.
I feel like the reason, like, I like to drink Gose is because I feel like people are like, oh, you're drinking that craft brew? And they're like, I'm like, yeah. And they're like, it's pretty high alcohol. I'm like, yeah, it's like 4%. I'm just like pounding, going to town like it's water.
Right. Some people call them barbecue beers. Some people call them grass cutting beers. I call them poolside beers because that's what I like to do, just sit by the pool and drink a bunch of dims.
True. There's a cranberry Gose out here. It's by a brewery in Philadelphia that's super spot on. I'll have to make sure I grab you a pack. I think the next time I see you, though, cranberry Gose's will be out of season.
Right.
But fuck it, right?
Just grab the last one off the line so you can definitely get us the closest to fresh as possible.
Exactly. So, Danny, I know I'm going to go off script. I know, you again, you know, I'm going to Kanye West this fucking show, per usual, right?
As usual, but that's good. Let's do it.
Dude, what the fuck is going on in the NFL, man? There's just so there's so many upsets in the playoffs this year. I think you see, like, the Saints losing, Patriots losing. Like, who the fuck is this Tennessee team out of nowhere?
The Ravens.
Gone. And
everyone thought the Chiefs were going to lose.
Dude, Houston fucking choked. Dude, they should have put it down. They should have put fucking Kansas City down. I was getting ready. I was getting excited for AFC South showdown.
I think everybody else was, too, but I think Kansas City, like, remembered that they were Kansas City, and I think part of it, too, was, like, watching the game, like, Texas started celebrating too hard too soon. Like, they're over there, like, you know, getting ready to, they're starting to, like, unwrap the champagne and throw their shirts on, mm-hmm. And Kansas City was like, come on, guys, let's get our shit together, just one play, just one tackle, let's do it, man, just, we can turn this around. And sure enough, there was, like, basically two plays that swung the momentum in that game, and then it was just like snowball down a hill, man. It was unstoppable at that point. They mm-hmm. The crowd got back into it. The team was excited. They never lost hope.
Yeah.
Unlike old ass Tom Brady. And then did you hear how the Dodgers got double screwed in the World Series and the punishments were handed down today on the Houston Astros?
No, I did. Is this this is from this previous winter?
No, this was like from the 2017 season for the Astros.
Okay.
And then for the next season, for the 2018 season, the Boston Red Sox were being investigated because their head coach was an assistant coach with Houston and during the 2017 season. So they're still like they when they were talking about the Houston Astros penalties, they mentioned his name a lot. Mm-hmm. Cora, Alex Cora, and mm-hmm. They said they're going to hold off on his punishments until they reveal their full investigation of the Red Sox.
So what happened? What was the conspiracy theory?
No. I mean, like, it's obvious, but what they were doing was they were using technology to steal signs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people steal signs all the time, but if you can, like, you know, there's a difference between, you know, like the Patriots full on like videotaping the sidelines or having some dude stand on the sideline with binoculars. You know what I'm saying? Like, or even just like looking. There's a, you know, so that's basically what they were doing. They had a dude sitting behind the dugout with a laptop that was hooked up to the camera system in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, throughout the season, they changed the signal, but at one point when they were playing the Dodgers, like, you can hear it play as day. Anytime they're getting ready to throw, like, a changeup,
yeah,
like a slower pitch, they start banging on a trash can.
Wow.
And so then you watch it, and you can see, like, the guy, like, throws fastball, and they just sit on it, and then changeup, and they just hold back, and they just wail it over the fence for a home run.
Jesus.
When it usually goes, like, if you do fastball and you swing at it, miss, and then the next one's a curve, like a curveball or a slower pitch,
mm-hmm,
you'll be ahead of it because you're expecting it, you know, you're not really expecting the speed, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you know a slower pitch is coming, you can just sit back on it and wait, like it's little league.
So they dished out the punishment then?
Yes, today they announced the punishment for the Astros.
What is the punishment?
So both the head coach and GM were suspended for a year. But then the owner took it one step further and fired them both.
Really? Oh, the owner didn't know?
Well, he didn't. Apparently, he wasn't, like, in on it.
So he's basically saying, like, I'm not going to be. Basically, like, they cheated, so now he's like, fuck, dude. Like, everybody's going to think we didn't win. Like,
right.
Yeah.
But then the team got fined $5 million.
Yeah, see, that's what he was pissed about.
And they lost their first and second round draft picks for the next two drafts.
Wow.
I mean, it doesn't. I mean, it matters in baseball, but there's also like 7 rounds or 15 rounds in baseball or whatever. It's like longest draft ever. It's like a full week of baseball draft.
Jesus.
I was drafted in the 87th round.
Woo! Look at me. I'm going to farm town.
But yeah, single A lot of people I know that are Dodger fans are like, they should just give the Dodgers the World Series those 2 years because they should have won it. Eh. Maybe, but it's you know, it's done. Too late. There's no use crying over cheating baseball teams.
Nope. They should just make an asterisk next to their title that says cheater.
That's what people are saying they should do, but I don't know if they've officially decided that or not. They just handed down the punishment. So
yeah.
Basically, they said that like any team that gets caught forward is being, this precedent has been set pretty high, so I guess if you're the next team, you're going to get fucked even more.
Probably. This is like, I beat the first one out of public shaming. Don't be the second one.
I mean, unless you're the Patriots and you can get caught doing all sorts of cheating, but different kinds of cheating and not really get too much punishment.
True. Or you could be at secret massage parlors.
Exactly. You want happy ending? There was an episode of Robot Chicken where the guy went to go get a massage. And at the end, the lady's like, you want happy ending? And he's like, no, I'm good. And she's like, trying to force him to get the happy ending. And she's like chasing him like Terminator. And he comes across a cop. And he's like, this crazy lady won't leave me alone. And she like snaps the cop's neck, like Terminator style. And then she has him cornered into an alley. And he's like, fine, I'll take the happy ending. And she's like, okay. And like pulls the thing out of her pocket. He's like, one happy ending egg roll for you. Oh, man.
That's too funny. Man, I was like, so I was like watching the Packer game on my phone because like I can't handle like watching it because I get too freaked out and get too upset. So I was,
and
like,
I heard this would have been a tough watch too because they kind of got close.
Yeah, man, why can't that offense, why couldn't the offense just scored like, you know, 56 points? Just threw like, another like, four touchdowns after.
Like the Chiefs?
Yeah, exactly. Like how do you go 28 like zero and then just end at 28 at the end of the game?
I don't know. That's the Chiefs, man. I mean, that's the Texans. They scored 24 like in the first quarter pretty much, and then they only scored one more touchdown the rest of the game.
Yeah, it was so funny because like there was one guy in my there's one guy in my clan that's like a Chicago Bears fan, and he's just like, of course the refs are sucking off the Packers. I'm just like, you know what, maybe Seattle should have figured out how to not let them score 28 points instead of relying on one questionable play. And when you look at it, like, you know, I think people just get way too excited about the yellow line, but the yellow line is not an official marker. Like, it's just like a visual for like TV. And if you look at like the play, like the flag or the marker is actually further down than what the yellow line was. So it kind of made everybody, like, super, like, upset. It was just like, come on, guys. Like, you can't just always blame, like, one play out of the whole game. It's just like, did you really get screwed, or did you just not play a good enough game?
Like a couple years ago when you guys got screwed in Seattle in the end zone.
I don't know. I agree, but that was like that play like ended the replacement refs though. How do you have two refs? There's
calls that you know, not, and sometimes you get calls for you, sometimes you get calls against you.
Mm-hmm. That is true. It is what it is.
It is, man. So, Sean, while we were gone, there was, you know, the world still spun round, and in that there was some beer controversies still happening, and there was just a couple that I thought was a little too funny or, I guess, important in a way to let pass.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can't remember the name of the brewery, but there was a brewery that released their, like, Christmas beer. And it was supposed to be, like, a brewery-only release. Like, you had one of those where you had to go stand in line and maybe bring your grandma or somebody or pay homeless people to stand in line with you so that you can get more cans to trade.
Yeah.
And they brew it every year, except this year they decided to get a little frisky with their cans.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, the art style was, like, the classic, you know, 8-bit art style that all the cool breweries are falling back on now.
Hey, 8-bit brewing is, like, the king.
Right. But they're building that whole gimmick about it around it, I guess, so it seems to work. But this brewery decided to take little 8-bit reindeers in Karma Sutra sex positions.
Oh, boy.
And so they had, like, reindeers, like, 69ing each other and stand one like mounting the other one from behind and mounting the one from the front, just basic classic Karma Sutra positions, keeping it classy.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently somebody complained because the state got involved and they got fined for inappropriate imagery on a beer can. It was cartoon reindeers, like, and it wasn't like you saw like boobs and dicks because it was like. Like, the worst pixelated 8-bits ever.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Like, even the original Game Boy, like, had more, like, clarity. Oh, man. But so apparently some people in beer can't take a joke.
I mean, they sound like those goddamn Dodger fans.
Yeah, fuck them. I hate all Dodgers. Every single Dodger fan's a piece of shit.
Especially the ones that are Raiders fans and Kings fans.
Yeah, they all suck.
If they like all three of those teams, really fuck them. Like, they are the scum of the earth.
Like, there's that subreddit, Fuck You in particular. Have you seen that one?
I have seen some crossovers.
Yeah, it usually comes up on, like, the front page or whatever, where it's like, there's like a crowd of people and something will, like, just fall from the sky or come, like, something will roll down the road or whatever and bounce over everybody and, like, just hit one person full on and nobody else.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty funny subreddit.
Yes. But then 450 North Brewing in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
They're the kings of the slushy fruit beers. Right? So you take like the fruit sours and they just make them basically into Slurpees.
Gotcha.
Well, somebody questioned the validity of their labeling, Sean.
Mm.
And so they went and they sent some of the beer to an independent lab, and it came back that the ABV listed on the cans was incorrect.
Oh, boy. Those bastards. Which I always thought
made sense, because if you're going to take, like, a 5 or 6% beer and then throw it in ice,
it's going to water that shit down.
Yes. And so I can't remember what the initial ABVs they were saying, but they're relatively high, like 6 or 8% or something like that, but the test came back, like, around 2 to 3%.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they're like, well, this is kind of disturbing. And so they sent it to their own independent lab, and it came back, and it's like, yeah, that guy was right. They're not as high ABV as we said.
Oh, boy.
And so we know once you say beer is going to be a certain ABV, you got to register that federally.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you leeways within like plus or minus a small like 1%.
Yeah.
So they're under investigation for that.
Those bastards.
Right. And then Great Notion in Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
they posted a job for like a PR person, basically.
Oh, are they following the practices of the great brewery of Founders?
No, not that bad.
Okay.
But kind of close. I mean, keep in mind, they're in Portland, right? Which isn't the cheapest city to live in.
No, it probably not.
So basically, like, you'll be, like, in charge of, like, their assisting in the management of all social media outlets, creating and proofreading content for social media, liking pictures, comments, commenting and sharing, creating Facebook events, representing Great Notion at events, travel may be required, assist in writing a weekly newsletter, catch a flight with Polly, conceptually developing a promotion, which I'm guessing is some sort of probably some YouTube show or something, developing a Wikipedia page, being a brand ambassador, and putting packages together for media/influencers, which we really need to get on that influencers train, man, because I'd like to get a package from somebody that isn't a Yeti.
So what? Oh, basically they give us free shit, so we'll say nice things about them because they're influencing us with free shit.
No, we're influencing our people to our listeners, and that by that I mean Manthing and your parents to drink their beer.
I need. Fair enough. let me guess. You need 5 years experience, and you're going to make minimum wage.
So you need a bachelor's degree in marketing, communication, business, or a related field preferred. Prior work experience in marketing/social media is a plus. Experience and understanding of the beer industry is also a plus. Excellent oral and written communication skills and attention to detail required. Must work well within a team and individually. Mm-hmm. Ability to prioritize and manage multiple tasks with limited direction or supervision.
That makes sense.
All for $15 an hour.
Okay, boomer.
Right? I mean, this isn't like North Dakota where like, but even then, like 1 year I went to North Dakota when like the oil was going up and whatever, and like every place like was hiring, like even like the McDonald's and like the Kmart had signs out now hiring starting pay $15 an hour.
Come work for us instead of the oil titans.
Yeah. Look, I know you can make like almost $100,000 a year, like literally walking off the street, getting a job in the oil field, or you can come work here for minimum wage. Shit, that's not going to work. We need people.
We need people to feed these oil people.
Exactly. So, you know, it's funny too because Instagram has come out and like YouTube and stuff, they've started coming out and like cracking down where you need to identify if you've been given a product for free. Mm-hmm. Before you like review it.
Mm, good idea.
Which, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But some people are like, they're taking away our ability to make money. And it's like, nah, dude, they're taking your ability to lie to people.
Like, I love this product. I totally bought it.
Yeah, like, I totally would buy this product if I didn't get it for free.
Exactly.
So, Sean, you mentioned that you bought your beer in California. You were, I guess, lucky enough to spend some time out here and got to see me in person, Sean.
I don't know if lucky enough to see you is the description of the event or the trip I would use. I feel like it was a curse.
I mean, I did take you to the airport.
True. I guess you're right. After taking me to go see some naked men wrestling.
There was some half-naked women, too. So, I mean, to be fair.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess in the end, you're right.
But before you saw me, you went to visit a distillery.
Mm-hmm. So I went ahead and decided to do something that I have not done before in Cali. And I ended up looking up a distillery for to go out and hang out at. So I went to J. Riley in Redlands, California. It wasn't too far away from Hangar 24, but it's like an interesting place. It's like in a warehouse, like office area, but you have to like go into the parking lot and then drive to the back and make a right to kind of find it because it's in like a weird office position. But I had a couple of their whiskeys and they were fantastic. Like they made some really good drinks at the distillery. So I think you're looking for some nice local whiskey or hard alcohol, I think you've really got to take a look at Jay Riley over there in Redlands.
Yeah, I started following them on the social media after you mentioned them, and they posted a couple other bottles that, like, one-of-a-kind, one-offs that were getting low in stock. And part of me was like, man, I should just drive out there and pick one up. That does look pretty good.
Yeah, dude, all the drinks they made were really good, and it was all fresh ingredients and stuff. It would definitely be a place I would not be upset if I got dragged back there.
Right, I mean, that's one thing, too, about, like, if you go to the distillery versus even a bar, you know, at the distillery, they definitely know the strengths and weaknesses of every single one of their bottles.
That is true.
And they know how to make it versus, like, you know, you go to a bar and you just order, like, an old-fashioned, and they throw the same ingredients in, other than whatever whiskey you order, whether you order bottom shelf, well, top shelf.
Yeah. And then we did drive over there to Hangar 24 just for a trip down memory lane. They didn't really have anything, like, overly cool on tap. I feel like it's, like, steady as she goes over there. But I did like how they enclosed their patio with, like, kind of like a outdoor cover to help block the wind. So, and they put in some heaters, so it was, it was a lot warmer over there to, like, hang out and have a beer outside. Still always, you know, typical Hangar 24 packed to the brim.
Well, I mean, and I think, like, recently they canceled their barrel program. They'd have, like, they had a club, a membership club, and you'd get, like, limited beers only through the membership club and stuff, and they canceled that. And, you know, apparently the opinion on social media about that wasn't too upset. Mm-hmm. Like, the quality had kind of gone downhill, and I think some people had left, moved on to, like, other pastures, not necessarily greener.
Like brewers?
Yeah, the brewers. But the prevailing opinion is that they're okay making what they make, and that they know the stuff that their stuff is being sold in stores, so people will recognize the name and go there and order the same stuff on tap that they could probably get at the stores, like the, you know, orange wheat, and they're, you know, they kind of rebranded and went really hard into the whole hangar theme. So, like, their stout was just called, like, a chocolate bomber.
Yeah.
And they have the Betty IPA and a few others, but all that's, like, just available at, like, pretty much any grocery store around the area and probably further out than I know, but I'm sure the name recognition alone gets them more than enough people.
Yeah, I was just surprised that, like, on tap they didn't have anything, like, crazy or different to drink. It was always it was the same thing.
Basically, like, the lineup that you can go to any bar or store and get.
Yeah, it just felt like they didn't have, like, any daring or risky things. Like, it just kind of was disappointing. It was, like, very, like, basic.
Yeah, it's always nice when a brewery has, like, a tap room exclusive or a variant that you can't get at, you know, anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure some of that stuff on the tap list was, like, you could only get there, but it just wasn't, like, very impressive. It just was all, like, basic beer, like, that's it.
It was the Ugg Boots and pumpkin spice of beer, is what you're saying?
Pretty much. I mean, I think that was, like, the only disappointing thing, but I mean, because I had, like, the porter, and it was like, okay, here's a porter, cool story, bro.
Right, like, their beers aren't bad, they're just nothing necessarily to, like, you know, want to go there, out of your way to go there.
Yeah, I just was like, I wanted to go and have something, like, that I wasn't ever going to get again, and it was just, like, shocking, like, nope.
Right. Speaking of shocking and something you'll probably never get again, Sean, like you mentioned, I took you to go see bar wrestling. I held you hostage. I said, I'll give you a ride to the airport if you come see bar wrestling with me.
Exactly. We did go to Little Tokyo, though, before, so that was...
We went to Little Tokyo, yes, and then I took you to...
Grill 'Em All. That burger place was pretty damn solid, though. Like, I would definitely go back to Grill 'Em All and have another fantastic burger.
Right? I mean, and we didn't sit inside, so we didn't get the full, like, because we were meeting with people to talk, so we didn't get the full metal wrestling experience.
Well, it's just kind of funny when it's December and it's, like, 70 degrees outside. It's nice to sit outside.
Right. No, I'm not saying it wasn't nice. It was very nice, and, like, it is a little too loud to have like a, you know, coming in from out of state and only seeing people like once every couple years conversation.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. It was, the beer, they had a pretty good beer selection. It was all local stuff, which was cool, or at least it was micro brew. So, that, whatever that porter was or stout, it was really good. I was really happy with it.
It was the Garage Brewing down in Temecula, their peanut butter one.
Cheers.
Yes, that's the one.
So I
and that's what I like about that place. They only have like, what, like 6 or 8 taps?
Yeah.
But they're very well curated.
True. It felt like they didn't care. Like, people were coming for their burgers. Like, they didn't need to, like, try to sell beer to get people there.
No, it's more like, I don't think it's more like that. It's more a thing of, they only have a handful of beer taps, so they're not going to just settle for anything. Like, they're going to go out and find good beer that match their burgers, that pair, you know, pair well with meat, and that, you know, people can't necessarily get anywhere else. Like, it's a, you know, a destination for their beer almost as much as their burgers.
Yeah, pretty much. It was kind of funny, though, because, like, I was in Little Tokyo looking for some interesting stuff. But, Danny, I know I told you, and again, here I go, fucking derailing the fucking show. I ended up, my buddy Roy from Toledo came out, and while we were in New York City, we went to, I think we went to the same anime store that we went to, ironically, when we went to New York Con. I ended up picking up 2 items. I picked up a Goblin Slayer figure, and then I picked up another Ursa Pop figure. So it was kind of funny. Like, I was looking for some new figures to, like, add to my collection that I couldn't, and I couldn't find anything in Little Tokyo. And then, boom, like, a different trip. It's like, bam, I come out with 2 new items to put on the shelf.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. So, and I saw you did all sorts of touristy shit when you were out there.
I did, you know, I went to the Empire State Building, which was actually, like, pretty interesting, because they put in, like, a lot of interesting facts and museums and whatnot, and just the view from that far up, like, it was, like, one of those things I had to, like, take my hat off and hold it, because it was, like, so windy that far up, and because you went to the 84th floor. And it was, and then, like, if you bought, like, a different package, you could go to, like, the 102 floor, but it was, like, way too expensive. It's kind of like, like, do I really want to go up, like, that many more floors? But it is what
which
it is.
Which is funny, because when we went to New York Comic Con and stayed, we were literally, like, a block away from the Empire State Building, and you, at that point, had zero interest to see it.
It was one of those, it was one of those things, like, I was like, I guess we're here. I guess we could do that. Like, I didn't know what else to go do. Like, we went to the Nintendo store. That was pretty cool. I ended up picking up a pretty slick hat. And then, what else did we go do? We went to the anime store, picked up, some donuts. Oh my god, I think I had the greatest cake donut. Danny, if you come out here and we go to New York, we're gonna go to that donut store. Like, I'm, like, seriously doubled down. Like, throwing some money down, one of the best cake donuts you will ever have.
So you're ready to admit that Voodoo Donuts isn't all that great, and other places can be much, much better.
It hurts my soul, but this place, probably better than Voodoo Donuts.
Yes, see, I win.
It's a plant nut. It's like, it was called Plant Nuts. It was like Plant Donuts or something. I forget.
Okay.
It was super fantastic, and they had some vegan donuts that I was able to bring home. So it was. I guess the vegan donuts were pretty good, but that's not my quote.
I guess they were pretty good. You were once vegan, now you will be gone.
Exactly.
Oh man, but bar wrestling, Sean.
Bar wrestling.
What are your like thoughts on the night?
There are some very energetic people about this shit. There are like some people that are like super super into it. Like, I was like shocked by like how much interaction, like, and cursing and stuff like these people were doing. It feels like It felt like it was definitely not, like, their first time there, and, like, even the wrestlers, like, knew who they were.
Well, like, the one guy that was, like, I'm sure one guy in particular talking about, Anthony Pena is his name. He's pretty much at every bar wrestling. I follow him on Instagram because he goes to, like, multiple wrestling events a month.
Were you on his show, or is that a different guy?
No, he doesn't have a podcast. He's just, like, some college kid that somehow is able to go to every wrestling show. But yeah. He was the one that was, like, flipping off the wrestlers, like, in their face.
Fair enough.
But, like, he was so involved. Like, he was, like, so there or whatever that, like, at one event, like, they got him involved in the gimmick. And people still think that it was, like, a real thing where, like, he flipped off the wrestler and kind of started to go behind the barrier or whatever. And, like, the wrestler, like, hit him.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. And people were like, oh, man, this is what happens when fans get involved when they're not supposed to. And it's like, and then I saw his post and he's like, I can't believe people thought that he still felt, you know, think that I would do this kind of a thing. And it's like, I guess outside of the small circle of bar wrestling and stuff that don't know you, they would think it's real because he would get banned. Like he would get banned from all these events if he really did that, you know?
Yeah, probably.
But the thing too is like everyone there, like they double down on the fact that it's fake.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, the more ridiculous and faker it is, the more they, like, yell and, like, cheer for it.
Oh, no, definitely. It was, like, everybody was just, like, way, way into it, and just, like, they played along with everything, and there was, like, lots of cheering. I think, like, the only thing that I thought was kind of, like, goofy and got, like, real old real quick, I think was, like, how it was, like, they were enemies, and at the end, like, they would become, like, semi-respectable, like, friends, and would be, like, it was just kind of, like, I think, like, after, like, the first time, it was kind of, like, all right, let's stop this and just move on. Like, do we really need, like, a 3-minute clapping period of you guys shaking hands?
Well, like, part of it is some of those wrestlers are from out of state, and that's, like, their first time being at bar wrestling, so they want to give the crowd a chance to show their appreciation, and then, like, the chance, you know, please come back.
Yeah.
And then the other one is one of the wrestlers, Jake Atlas, that was his... Because they did a New Year's Eve show that we went to and then a New Year's Day show as well.
Mm-hmm.
And those were his last two bar wrestling shows.
Yeah.
Before he moved on because he got signed by WWE and he's going to start appearing then in NXT soonish.
Yeah. Was he that top of a wrestler? I guess he was if he got scouted.
Right. He got signed. Like, you know, I've been watching, you know, all the years I watch wrestling and stuff, and I always see the crowd, like, react, like, in shock when something happens, right?
Yeah.
Like, they'll cover their face, and it's like, oh my god, and stuff. And I'm like, dude, it's fake. Like they know what they're doing kind of a thing. Until that Jake Atlas match. Like, there was a part where Jake Atlas flung the guy into the ropes, and the guy missed or whatever, and flew in the crowd, and, like, kicked some girl in the face.
Yeah.
And everyone, like, people, you could tell that wasn't planned, because the ref immediately jumped out and was, like, checked on the girl, and then checked on him.
Yeah.
And, like, that whole match, like, even people around us that go to, like, all the events were like, dude, this isn't good. They need to end this match. This isn't good. Like, just one guy was like the loudest guy by us, you know, cheering and stuff. Was even he was like, all right, just come in, do this move, pin him in the match. Let's get this over with. It was like, I felt like bad, like watching this match because I thought someone was going to get hurt.
Yeah, that's crazy that, yeah, I mean, he definitely looked like he just, like, I don't know if he was just at the wrong angle or whatnot, but he just, like, I feel like he was trying to lean into the, he probably was trying to lean into the top rope, and it just bounced out of the way, and he flew out. Or maybe he tripped over the, or maybe he just kind of tripped going into it, so he, like, fell out.
Something, yeah, but he flew out, like, faster than he should have, and, like, they didn't warn anybody, so that, and, you know, then you could tell as the match was progressing, Jake Atlas was getting, like, frustrated and pissed at him. Like, I think Jake was, like, legit wanting to punch, like, wasn't pulling punches at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And which pissed the other guy off. So I think, like, at some point that became, like, a real fight.
Yeah.
But then, you know, my favorite thing, though, was the whole, like, the host, the guy that's supposed to be hosting the show. It's like, oh, he went to the wrong location.
Yeah.
Oh, he's on his way. He's at a DUI checkpoint now. And it's like, oh, dude, like, this is great. Like, he's gonna show up at the end. Sure enough, like, literally, like seconds before midnight, like, there was a match going on, and he just walked in. We did our midnight shit, and then the match continued. But you got to see Joey Ryan in person, man. The king of sleaze.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous, but at least his character is pretty fun though. And then I thought it was pretty, like, the four-way tag team was pretty funny.
Right, the fact that, like, when David Arquette was one of the wrestlers and his tag team partner didn't want him to do anything because he was old and would get hurt. Oh, man, but the cool thing, like, I mean, you weren't necessarily into it, but if you were, like, they had all the wrestlers there, like, Joey Ryan first because it's his promotion and stuff, and so, like, they're there selling, like, shirts and autographs and taking pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, now, like, some of the wrestlers that were bar wrestling for years have moved up to, like, AEW and stuff, and now you got to pay to go do meet and greets with them versus, yeah, like, getting to go to bar wrestling and see them for free.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But we had some movie trailers drop, Sean,
We were gone. There was all sorts of adventures going on.
One movie that everyone thought got canceled because it was, like, got postponed through the Disney-Fox merger was the New Mutants movie.
Oh, yeah, dude, that movie is... I do remember seeing a trailer way back when, but, man, dude, I was just rewatching it, dude. Like, it's crazy that that movie is, like, so freaking freaky for, like, a Marvel movie. Like, they definitely, like, are going in a different direction with that shit.
Right, and that's why they thought Disney was going to cancel it once they bought it, because it's, when Fox did it, it was straight going to be a horror movie, and they had, like, stuff for it at Comic-Con, like, 3 Comic-Cons ago.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so, I think it's, like, so out of place that I think even my girlfriend would like to go see it, because it's just, it seems like such more of, like, a horror movie than, like, a superhero movie.
Right. And you can tell it's old, because, like, Maisie Williams still looks like she's 12. She doesn't look like she's 15.
Yeah.
But, yeah, apparently, like, they're, like, in a mental hospital of some sort. And, you know, it kind of starts off that it looks like they're being treated or whatever. But then it gets to the end and it looks like they're basically being trapped there. But, yeah, it's definitely, like, showing, like, how, like, I can't remember her name. Colossus's sister.
I don't remember.
Is it Magic? Yeah, maybe. Magic. Like, she's there, and it's like, they're kind of asking, like, when they're, like, the question was asked is, like, when did you first, like, your powers first manifest or whatever, and she talked about, like, killing her boyfriend and then a bunch of other boyfriends afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. That movie's coming out, like, and people forgot about it, and then they dropped the trailer, and it's like, oh, yeah, still coming out in April, by the way.
I mean, I think it's going to be pretty damn intense.
Definitely. It'll be interesting, especially being introduced to characters that have nothing necessarily to do with the X-Men universe or the MCU in any way. So they could pretty much do whatever they want with them.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's funny because everyone's talking about how the Doctor Strange movie is going to be the first, like, horror comic book movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think New Mutants is going to beat that, because I don't think they've started even filming the Doctor Strange movie yet.
Pretty much.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think it's going to be pretty good and actually a pretty different cup of tea, so I'll be interested to see what, like, people think about it that are more horror fans than superhero fans.
Exactly. And then they released the trailer for Wonder Woman 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that movie looks interesting. It looks like it's going to be like the premise. The villain is the guy that kind of grants all of your wishes, but there's a catch.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see, because they bring Steve back. So is he actually back? Is it, like, what's going on? So I know when they, release the trailer, a couple people I know on social media were upset because they're still making it like that, you know, she can't be the hero without a man, and like Kristen Wiig playing Cheetah is basically the villain because he can't get a man.
Okay, is that who she... I thought she was supposed to be Cheetah, but I never saw, like, a costume or anything, so I wasn't sure. And I wasn't really sure what the whole point of the story is. Like, it's just, like, I did like the the 80s kind of theme to it, though. I thought the trailer was, the song was put together well, and the rainbow coloring was kind of popping out during with the letters. I thought that was really on point.
Yeah, because the villain is, I had his name and then I lost it, but he's the same actor that plays the Mandalorian. Not that we've seen that yet, or at least me. But
I don't think I have seen
Pedro Pascal. Okay. But anyways, it's like the whole like Needful Things thing, where it's like, yeah, he'll grant you whatever you want or wish, but then it comes with the cost of granting him something that he wants. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where Steve is back, and then at the end it's like, all right, you got what you want, now it's my turn.
Mm, interesting.
And so I don't think that Kristen Wiig necessarily is like the villain because she wants a man. I think it's more a thing of being confident, because. Like, there was a scene where she was, like, all, like, shy and stuff talking to Wonder Woman, but then she goes to the party and she's, like, you know, feeling it, all confident and stuff. So, that's kind of cool. And then the part where she's using the golden lasso to ride Thunderbolts.
I thought that's where I was just kind of like, all right, that's, like, too ridiculous.
Right. Either you're going to be like, that's ridiculous and check out, or you're like, that's ridiculous, I fucking love it.
I checked out. I was like, all right, that's too much.
I loved it. I thought it was pretty awesome.
Here we go.
I mean, it's Wonder Woman, dude. She's Amazonian. She's a demigod.
I'm just waiting for her to still spin around and magically get her costume on.
I wonder if that's when she gets the golden wing costume that they showed at the end. She spins around other way. She spins around one way to get the red and blue costume and spins around the other way to get the gold costume.
Fair enough.
And then... the superhero movie that might be a couple years too late, mm-hmm. but Kevin Feige finally got his way. They're making a Black Widow prequel movie, a prequel sequel.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty. I laughed at her dad wearing the crazy like old outfit, and of course he's like, and then like the mom's just like, you gain weight.
You got fat. You got fat. But you know it's funny because in the comics. They were married.
Mm.
Natasha and him.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm. Interesting.
The Crimson Raider.
Hmm. Gotcha.
And so basically it looks like Wolverine style, you know, going back to the Project X facility. She has to go back to the facility where she was trained.
Hmm.
And the villain is Taskmaster in this movie.
Oh, is that who that's supposed to be?
Yes.
Wow. Interesting.
So, it'll be pretty good. And there's some pretty cool scenes. And, you know, it's listed as a teaser, but it's, like, almost 3 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was listening to this podcast, and they did their, like, top tens of the year. And both the hosts agreed that, like, the worst trailer was the teaser trailer for the Birds of Prey. Because they said it went by so fast you didn't see anything. You had to rewatch it. And I'm like, I think that was my favorite teaser trailer ever.
I mean, it was not supposed to be a trailer, but a teaser.
Right. That's what a teaser is. 30 seconds where it wants you wanting more. Like, it just says, it's almost like a save the date for an invitation. It's not the actual invitation. It's just, hey, don't make any plans for this day. We'll fill in details. We'll give you more details when it's deemed important or we have them all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like that. Birds of Prey teaser trailer was probably my favorite teaser trailer because it showed nothing of the movie. It just showed the characters.
Yeah.
So fast that you almost had to like Google it online to see see the cast to know who you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
People are just, they complain they get too much information in trailers and then they complain they don't get enough.
Nobody's ever happy.
Fucking nerds, man.
Yeah. And I guess I would say for the people that don't know who Taskmaster is, he's basically, like, a guy that as soon as he, like, watches you fight, he kind of, like, learns your way of battle. So he's, like, really, really good at fighting. He doesn't really have, like, a power, per se.
No, like, and so, like, as you're fighting him, you might get a couple punches in, but then he'll block it, and then he'll figure out exactly how you're fighting, and he can fight you back, weird style. So, yeah, it'll be interesting, especially with, you know, the... the Crimson Raider, he looks more like a powerhouse, and then Black Widow and her sister just seem more like acrobatic agility types. So it'll be interesting to see the Taskmaster switching, who they cast as the Taskmaster, to kind of switch between those fighting styles.
Yeah, no, definitely. I thought, I didn't really see anything in there about it. Maybe I just missed it, but I think it'll be interesting to see how he is portrayed as the villain, because I always, like, remember him, like, teaming up with Deadpool all the time, so I just kind of remember him as another silly character.
Right, which, I'm glad they didn't show too much again. Teaser trailer. We don't need to see everything.
Right.
And then the last trailer is a Ryan Reynolds movie, Sean.
Yes, it is.
Free Man.
I thought it was Free Guy. I think you got it wrong.
Oh, Free Guy. You're right. My bad. Free Guy.
Damn it, Danny. You were trusted with the script of the show, and you fucked up. Can't take this.
Autocorrect.
Yeah, so Free Guy is the name. And basically, it is a movie about a video game where Ryan Reynolds is playing, like, an NPC character that just gets his ass beat, like, all the time, and is just kind of, like, living in a crazy world, and he ends up, like, getting tired of that shit. So it's, like, a very, like, weird take on video games. I thought it was actually a pretty interesting view.
Right, like, he's a bank teller, and he keeps getting robbed and stuff, and he's just going through the motion, and then he accidentally kills one of the players and puts on their glasses, and he can see, like, the HUD and all the mission notifications and stuff that the player sees, and basically becomes an NPC player.
Pretty much. There's some goofy jokes in there and stuff and whatnot, so.
I mean, it is a Ryan Reynolds movie, so of course you expect silly shit like that.
Right.
I mean, as long as it's better than the Michael Bay movie that's on Netflix that he did that I heard is pretty, like one of those, like, awful good movies.
I don't even know which one you're talking about.
I can't. It's like it's Six Underground is what it's called.
Not, like, apparently not ringing there's a bell.
Scene. Yeah, I mean, it's newish. It's on Netflix, but like, I saw a picture on Reddit where, like, Ryan Reynolds was, like, filming a scene, like, for his own personal use or whatever. Like, he was in the background, and at least he thought he was out of the way filming. But, like, in the scene in the movie, you could see him in the background filming. When he's supposed to be driving the car, I guess.
Wow.
And then there's another part where, like, there you can actually see, like, the blue screen. Like, they didn't, for a few frames, like, they didn't CGI the scene onto the blue screen. So there's just a blue screen there.
Wow.
I mean, normally I not necessarily defend, but I can, like, argue in favor of Michael Bay movies because they're just dumb explosion fun movies.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're not even going to put in effort, like, come on.
Right, like, but
at least,
like,
at least get the blue screen fixed.
Right, because that was your thing. It's like, yeah, his movies are big, dumb special effects explosions, but at least they look pretty. Oh, there's blue screen. Ah, that doesn't look very pretty.
No.
So, I don't know, man, but I'm really looking forward to these movies. This like, not just superhero-wise, but like other movies, it looks like it's going to be a good year this year, Sean.
No, the movies look pretty intense, so it'll be interesting to watch those. I know I'm still trying to catch up on some other movies. Like, I still need to go see Star Wars. Still need to see Joker. I feel like I'm behind.
Yeah, Joker's out on the DVD already. So,
oh, did you get it through Netflix?
Not yet. I'm working on it. I got the Brad Pitt movie Ad Astra instead.
Gotcha.
They sent me that one.
Fair enough.
You mocked me, but I'm getting Joker in the mail soon for my Netflix.
Oh, boy.
Yes, old man me.
Old man Danny.
See, I'm old enough to get Netflix in the mail, but not old enough to think it's a good idea to pay $15 an hour for a college job. So, Sean, we lived another week. I don't know if any of our listeners made it this far, but we did.
We did. We made it a few weeks. We conquered Christmas. We conquered the new year. We're here in 2020. We're going to ruin another great year.
This is going to be the year of self-reflection, because 2020 is hindsight. Or hindsight is 2020, or both.
You know what? If you're going to tell a stupid pun, at least get it right.
Don't tell me what to do. You're not my supervisor.
I'd write your ass up. I want to do all that bullshit they do over there, man. I follow the rules. Oh, it got you out.
I don't know, man. Saying you write my ass up, that sounds kind of sexual. I'm going to HR. He wants to touch me in my no-no hole.
I'm going to slap it and ride the wave in.
Exactly. Before we get too far, it makes Sean's mom even more disgusted. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram,
Podbean,
Apple Podcasts,
iTunes, Google
Podcasts,
all those fantastic places. Stitcher. Not on iHeartRadio. They didn't like us. They thought we were probably too disgusting or just terrible.
Maybe.
Or both.
We don't heart radio because they don't heart us.
Exactly. Oh, man.
give us some reviews. We have like a couple more like star reviews, but nobody's actually written words for a while. I don't know if that matters, but apparently like if you get reviews, it helps show up on the algorithm of podcasts.
It does something. I don't know what.
That's what people, other podcasts tell me. So I give them reviews, but they don't give me reviews.
Senpai, notice me.
No, Senpai is ignoring me.
Oh, that's how it always
and
is.
And not in the sexy, fun, tsundere way.
Oh, man. Exactly. I think we have a pretty fun-filled week next week. While I was traveling, I caught up on a bunch of anime. I think we watched some movies. I started playing this salty game again, Danny, that I can't wait to talk about. And then I think we got a pretty full lineup for the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I started playing a game that I thought I was going to, like, just totally shit on. But actually, like, once I got to a certain point and figured it out, it's actually a fun game.
Plants vs. Zombies?
Yes.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay.
even more complicated than that, Tetris.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
That game is so hard.
Exactly. All right, everybody, make sure you catch us next time at the same good place. Danny, it's been a fun time getting back with you.
It's been fun. Catch you, everybody, next time.